Amen. Grace is a charming sound.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Appreciate the things that went on before us. Make a couple introductory comments to what Brother Ricky has said. He alluded to and quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 a few times. One of my favorite parts of that verse is it says, "Be not deceived."
Yeah.
Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Amen.
Who's going to deceive you? Your flesh. Your flesh is going to say, "I'm strong enough. I can handle it. That sinfulness is not going to rub off on me. That heresy is not going to rub off on me." You ever wondered why? I used to wonder, then the Lord showed me, and I was like, well, duh. But you ever wondered why right there in the middle of the resurrection chapter where he's talking about Christ being raised from the grave, and how that shows that you're going to be raised from the grave and you're going to go to heaven? Hallelujah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Woo. But have you ever wondered, right in the middle there, just out of nowhere, he says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Have you ever wondered why that was there? Because he was preaching against non-resurrectionism.
Yeah.
And why was that there? Why did he put that there? Because you know how they got non-resurrectionism in the church? Or in that church there? Because they were hanging around evil communications.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters, you know how we stay away from getting heresy in the church? Don't hang around heretics.
That's right.
And what's a heretic? Somebody that preaches error.
Right.
Somebody that takes away from the glory of God. I tell you, I love your pastor. I love all y'all that I've met. I appreciate the love that y'all have shown towards me. And I hope if I get the opportunity to come back over here, y'all still be standing for the truth.
That's it.
And I won't have to view you as Paul said, you know, be not deceived. Stand for the truth.
Amen.
Continue in the doctrine. Pray for your pastor. Such a wonderful privilege to be here and to stand before God's people, try to preach the gospel. If you have your Bibles with you, you'd like to go over to Matthew chapter 16. The Lord bless us this morning. I'd like to preach on the glory of the church and the way that children of God should view the church. You ever said before, "I got to go to church," like it was something bad to do? Brothers and sisters, after my effort is finished, I hope, because the Lord's blessed me in the past. But I hope He'll bless again.
Yeah.
And I hope that, I don't say that boasting, saying that the Lord blessed me in the past. I'm saying that's what my hope is built upon.
Amen.
He's blessed me in the past, and I trust me standing up here again and exercising my faith that He'll bless again. But I hope as I sit down that you won't say, "I got to go to church." That you'll say, "I get to go to church."
And
you say, "I get to commune with the Lord." I get to feel the Holy Ghost goosebumps. You ever had them?
Oh, yeah.
Y'all ever heard a man preach and the Holy Spirit whim up in you and you just feel those chills on your back and you just want to go, woo! That's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I thought I knew what I was going to try to preach on last night if they put me up this morning. And Brother Mike preached on the Spirit that cometh to us through the preaching of the gospel. And then Brother Ronnie preached over there in Revelations 2, and then he hit on that tree of life, the manna that comes from that now from heaven. And that's the same thing that Brother Mike was preaching. That's that Spirit. And brothers and sisters, if we overcome, if we endure, if we stay faithful, whenever you come here to the house of God, you're going to feel that Spirit. It says, "We're two or three met together in my name." Just because we got Primitive Baptists outside on the sign, does that mean you're gathered in His name? What does it mean to gather in His name? It means to gather the way that He told us to gather and to do what He told us to do.
Right. Amen.
If we're not doing that, we're not in His name.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever we gather in His name, two or three or a thousand, I tell you, brothers and sisters, He'll be there.
Amen.
He promised it.
Right.
And that's what a little child of God needs. He needs the Spirit of God. He needs refuge from this old sin-cursed world. All the things I tell you, it bothers me sometimes whenever I come to Old Baptist Church in the first 30 minutes and I know the brother means well and he gets up and tells you how bad the world is. I live out there.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
I know the sodomites are trying to take over. I know fornication is rampant. I know those things. I want to hear about Christ.
Amen.
Over in, first I want to establish that there is a thing called the church.
That's right.
Over in Matthew chapter 16. Please pray for us. very common to, I trust everybody who goes to church, Bible readers, trying to find out where we're at. In the 13th verse, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. You know what? If I came into the church house this morning and some people said, there goes John the Baptist, I wouldn't be able to get out of this church house. My head would be so big. But that didn't flatter the Lord. John the Baptist was a sinner. Jesus Christ is perfect. That didn't flatter the Lord. It says, some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Don't you got to love Peter? I feel like Peter so many times, when he does good and when he does bad. I just feel like that. Whenever I first started reading the Bible, I hated Peter. I really did. I was like, that boasting guy, all the time letting the Lord down. You know what I found out? I'm Peter. I'm Peter. But you got to love Peter here. He says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you got to love what the Lord says to Peter. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this morning, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you're a blessed creature.
Amen.
How blessed am I, Brother Danny? You know how blessed you are? You know what 1 John 5:1 says? It says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Right.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means, you know where people who are born of God go? They go up there.
Yeah.
Okay? What do we know about up there? It says you'll forever be satisfied.
Yeah.
I tell you, people talk about what heaven's going to be like. We're going to know this one. We're going to know that one. I tell you what, it don't matter if you know a soul, you're going to be satisfied.
Right.
If you don't know nobody, you ain't going to want to know nobody because you're going to be satisfied.
Right.
If you know everybody, that's cool too, okay? You're satisfied.
Amen.
And I want you to understand this morning that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that if you believe he lived a life 33 and a half years, perfect, sinless, died on the cross, and was raised the third day, that you're born of God.
Amen. Right.
I want you to understand that the Bible says that you have everlasting life. I want you to understand that the Bible says that that belief is an evidence that you're going to heaven.
Amen. Yeah.
Tell me about bad stuff. I don't want to hear it. Tell me that I'm going to heaven. Woo!
Amen.
I tell you, brothers and sisters, we're going to heaven.
Amen.
What more can I tell you?
No,
blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. How blessed am I? I'm going to heaven. I say this a lot. Brother Ricky, we kind of come from the same area. Probably tired of hearing me saying, sometimes I feel like the publishing clearinghouse guy. I mean, really, a gospel minister. You know, can you imagine being that guy knocking on the door and somebody opens it up and you got a $10 million check?
That's right.
Wow. And you see them rejoice. Brother says, I'm here to tell you this morning, you've got more than $10
million. That's right.
Your father owns a cat on 1,000 hills.
Amen.
And all the gold of Ophir.
Yeah.
You're rich. There's going to be a day where you're going to be a place where, you know, they think about gold, you're going to be walking on it.
Right.
Gold is nothing. I take that as saying what we view as the most precious thing here on earth.
Yeah.
That's under your feet.
Yeah.
That's how great heaven is.
Amen.
Tell you, I'll never sin again. I'll never mourn for my sins again. I'll never feel unworthy again. See, there's a song that we sing, and I forget which one it is, but it says, oh, that day, free from sinning.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the two things that I can't wait for whenever I get to heaven. Number one is to see my Savior.
Yeah.
And number two is never deal with another sin.
Yeah.
Man, do y'all ever groan in travail?
Yeah,
waiting for the adoption to wit?
Oh,
we'll never do that again. Brothers and sisters, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are a blessed creature. And look at this. And I say unto thee, well, let's back up. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, that which is heaven, which is in heaven. I want you to understand that if you do believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that it's not because you were born an Old Baptist. Brother Ricky, I'm thankful you were born an Old Baptist. All you good brethren and sisters here that were born Old Baptist, I'm glad for it. I'm glad for whenever I was able to come to the church, folks like you were able to teach me the right way. You know, teach me the common vernacular of the Old Baptist. We don't say whenever somebody got saved. You know, we say whenever they met the Lord. Whenever they knew the Lord. You know, I'm thankful for y'all. But you know what? It ain't because of your parents. It ain't because of the preacher. It's because the Lord has shown it to you personally. You know, sometimes in this world, I know I do, and I have as an Old Baptist, you know, we got the everlasting love of God down pretty pat, don't we, Brother David? I mean, God loves us with an everlasting love. There's nothing that can separate us from that, so we're going to heaven. Woo-hoo, right? I mean, that's good stuff. But sometimes we forget about He cares for us right here. I mean, He really does. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that whenever it says over in Luke 15 that whenever one sinner repenteth, just one sinner repenting, that there is rejoicing in heaven. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. God, heaven. I want you to get this, Brother Ronnie. I know you get it. But I want everybody to get this. I want me to get it more. I mean, it's like that brother said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. You know, I believe, but sometimes my walk shows a lot of unbelief. But if we really understood that whenever we repent, when, as Brother Ronnie said last night, repent means to stop and turn around. Whenever we're caught up in a sin, whenever the Lord shows us where we're erring at and we stop and we turn around, there is a communication in heaven that's rejoicing. It says that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. You know who's in the presence of the angels of God? God! So who's rejoicing? God rejoices over your repentance. The only way that can happen is if He cares for you. I'm going to tell you how I view it. Whenever Brother Mike puts down the brownie, the spiritual brownie, and picks up the spiritual carrot, whenever you repent, brother, there's rejoicing in heaven. Somebody saying, "Whoa, Brother Mike, he did good. He laid that evil down. I ain't seeking after the Lord." But I get excited about it. I mean, I'm not yelling just to be yelling. I really do. To think that heaven is concerned with what I do. You're a blessed creature. And the reason you believe it is because God has showed it to you personally.
Yeah.
I tell you, it used to, whenever I'd ask a question in class and the teacher would answer it out loud and make me look dumb, I didn't like that. Whenever I'd ask a question in class and she'd come over and she'd wrap her arm around my shoulder and she'd show it to me, that's how I picture that. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but thy Father, which is in heaven. I picture the Lord wrapping His arm around your shoulder and revealing it to you. That's a beautiful picture to me. But look, we're talking about the church. We might not even get to the church. But I tell you what, we're talking about the publishing clearinghouse. Telling people that they're millionaires. I'm greater. I got a better job than them. Because whenever I tell you that you're a millionaire, I am too. You get that? Now that'd be a good job, wouldn't it? We both are joint heirs in this $10 million. We're joint heirs with Christ. We're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Woo, amen. But it says, I say unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I know you get irritated with it sometimes, Brother David, but it ain't our church.
I know.
It's the Lord's church.
You're right.
And I don't think there's nothing wrong with saying my church or your church, but we need to understand it's the Lord's church. It's Jesus' church. We all understand whenever I say I'm going to my church, I don't think that I got a place where they worship Brother Danny, okay? We understand going to the church of my membership. But it's important for us to understand this is the Lord's church. It ain't about you and it ain't about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to understand what worship is about. It ain't about us. You know, people want to form activities for us to build us up. Brothers and sisters, it says study to show thyself approved unto God. You need to be studying at home. Okay? And they get discipleship confused with what a church's supposed to do. If you want to go cut the widow's yard down the road because you don't think she's able to, good, you need to do that. But we don't need to throw on a bunch of Primitive Baptist churches shirts and go down there and say, look what we're doing. Okay, people get that confused. The law says if you see a widow or an orphan, take them into thy house. It doesn't say form an orphanage and throw money at the situation. Okay? It says take them into thy house. That's where the rubber meets the road whenever you start bringing folks into your house, isn't it? It's a lot easier for me to throw a 20 at it and say, y'all take care of it over there. But if you see somebody in need, you take care of it. We need to understand between discipleship and what it means to be a church member. Whenever we come into the church, it's to worship God. Amen. That word worship means to, I love this. And it's so funny. My dad, he's not an old Baptist, and Brother David knows this, he brought me up to hate religion. And I thought they were a bunch of holy rollers. And he said, preachers, all they want is your wives and your wallets. I mean, you know, that's just how I was raised. But I was preaching one time, and my dad was there. And I brought out this definition of worship. If you look it up in the Strong's there, it has a definition to prostrate thyself as a dog licking his master's hand. And we were on our way home. My dad said, you didn't understand. People don't like to be called dogs. He said, old Baptists love it, Daddy. You know? But it says to prostrate thyself as a dog licking his master's hand. Who's that about? Is it about the dog? It's about the master. But brothers and sisters, thanks be to God. And he didn't have to set it up like this. He says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what that reward is? It's that Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost that Brother Mike was talking about. Now, do not confuse me. Being born again is not a reward. Being born again is a free gift. God puts His Spirit within you. You're born of the Spirit. It says, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He compares it as the wind. And that shows me that everybody is born again the same way. So if I can find one person, how one person was born again, I can show you how everybody else is born again. It says that John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. How did that happen? I mean, if it takes something upon myself, if it takes hearing the gospel, you think his daddy was talking to the belly there? I mean, how did that happen? By God.
Amen.
So how am I born again? By God. How was Abraham born again? By God. How are those who are mentally incapacitated born again? By God. How was the thief on the cross born again? By God. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But he says this. He says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand the Lord has a church, and he loves that church. And you know what he says about the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Over in Isaiah 33, about verse 20, it talks about that it's a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. What does that mean? It's always going to be here. It may not be here at Fredericksburg. I pray to God it is. It may not be back home in Natchez, Mississippi, or where I pastor in Camden. But the Lord will always have a witness. Where there's people worshiping Him in what? In spirit and in truth. And they're glorifying His name. And guess who's going to be there when that's happening? He's going to be there. I want to go to a couple other verses and I'll sit. I don't waste a lot of time. Let's go to Isaiah 48 real quick. Psalms 48. It says, great is the Lord. Amen. And greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Why is it beautiful situation? Why is it the joy of the whole earth? Because it's the city of the great king.
Yes.
This is where God dwells. I want you to understand, this is where we find God in a manifest sense in the spirit. But what is Mount Zion? We find over in Hebrews chapter 12 that it tells us that Mount Zion is the church of the firstborn, Jesus Christ. Look what it says about Mount Zion here. It says, beautiful for situation. What does that mean, beautiful for situation? You know, I've heard people say, well, Brother Danny, we really want to start coming back to church, but things are going bad right now. And once things get better, we're going to start coming. Have y'all ever heard that?
Yeah.
That's when you need church the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful for situation. Are you depressed? That's a situation.
Yeah.
The church is beautiful then.
Amen.
Are you happy? That's a situation. The church is really beautiful then.
Yeah.
You broke? That's a situation. Church is beautiful then. You white, you black, you green, you yellow. That's a situation. You need to be in church.
Amen.
It's beautiful for situation. And look what it says. The joy of the whole earth. Who does not like joy? I love joy. I tell you, hearing them brothers preach last night, hearing Brother Ricky preach this morning, whenever the Holy Ghost comes down and dwells among you and strikes the tunes of your heart, and you're made to feel to be an heir of salvation, you're made to feel to be one that God cares about. You're made to be to feel as one who's going to heaven. Oh, that's joyful.
Amen.
The joy of the whole earth. Brothers and sisters, if you want joy in your life, this is the place to be.
Yeah.
Not this building, but with his saints.
Amen.
Where two or three are gathered together in his name.
Yeah.
And you say, Brother Danny, do you really believe? Brother Mike, do you really believe that there can just be two there? And the Lord will be there?
Yeah.
I believe it and I've seen it. I know other ministers have.
Yeah.
And I tell you, there's this over in Acts chapter 8, we find a brother by the name of the Ethiopian eunuch. That's all we know about him. And he has the gospel preached to him and he believes on it. And guess what it says? He went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because they were in Mount Zion.
Amen.
They had church.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, woo! I mean, he went on his way rejoicing. What else can I say about that? Brother Ronnie reminded me last night about a sister that passed away a couple weeks ago. And somebody was relating an experience that I had related at her funeral. And with sickness and things in the winter, you know, not everybody's able to come to church. There are reasons to miss church, okay? There's a lot of excuses given, too.
Right. Yeah.
If you're not physically able to come to church, that's a reason.
Yeah.
You got pneumonia, stay at home. I done had it four times. I don't need it again. Okay? But going to the beach isn't a reason to miss church.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
We just, it's our time, Brother Danny. It's vacation. And we've had a really rough year. But you got through it. Don't you think you need to be praising the Lord?
Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen.
But because of situations, there were several times when me and this sister, we were the only ones there. And we sat on the front pew together, and she could sing like a canary, Brother Ronnie. She really could. I'm thankful to God nobody asked me to lead song service this morning. Because I was going to have to say, Brother, will you start that? Lord called me to preach, not to lead songs. I'll try. I was relating to Brother David one time. I was at a church that, actually, Brother Ricky Myers pastors now. There's a sister that has gone on to be with the Lord. She's sitting on the front row, and it was about 10, 15 minutes in the song service, and I was leading the song. She looked up at me and said, I think it's time for preaching now. But I want you to understand, we were making melodies in our hearts to the Lord. Me and this one sister.
Amen.
She sounded wonderful. I sounded bad. But we enjoyed it. We even went past 30 minutes. Imagine that. Went 40 or 50 minutes. Why? Because we were worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm not bragging on it. I'm saying about whenever you worship the Lord and you feel the Spirit,
yeah.
I don't look at my watch. Do you? We don't need to. What? Where are we at? Texas, right? Longhorns. Longhorns go to the national championship game. Fourth quarter, 21-21. Buzzer. Bah! Y'all turn the TV off, right? I mean, hey, it says it's going to have four quarters. Fourth quarter's over with. Y'all shut it off, right? No, what do you say? Overtime. That's the best time. That's when it really means it.
Yeah.
Don't let it, brother, be preaching about God, feeling the Spirit of God. How dare you go to 12:05? Overtime. I tell you, brothers, if this is the joy of the whole earth, I should appreciate some overtime.
Amen.
And I'm not rebuking y'all. I don't know y'all that well. I don't know if you're one of those 12 o'clock. And that's one thing I enjoyed about this sister. I preached till 12:30. And she said, Brother Danny, I don't think you were finished. I mean, seriously, I'm not making this up. Brother and sister, I want you to understand that we have the joy of the whole earth. Because we were stepping out on the Lord's promise. Where two or three are gathered in His name. There I'll be also. I know he's talking about church discipline there, but he's talking about church. I don't think he's just talking about government. I think he's talking about church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be also. Brother Ronnie, I'm sorry I took up some of your time. I got to go to 2 Corinthians 3. Maybe I've been a little too foolish, and I apologize. I want you to understand just how glorious the church is. I didn't understand it till the Lord showed me this verse. You know what over in Romans chapter 11 says about the church? It says that the falling away of the Jews meant riches to the Gentiles. What did the Jews receive? I mean, what did the Gentiles receive because the Jews fell away? They received the church.
Yeah. Right?
They received the vineyard.
Right.
Remember the Lord talks about He took away the vineyard from the unfaithful husbandman and let it out to other husbandmen. We're the husbandmen.
Mm.
It says that the Gentiles have riches now. Do we view this as riches? Or do we got to go to church?
Mm.
My brother says, let us go to church.
Amen.
Let us want more church.
Amen.
I tell you, you know, I've heard people ask some of the other brethren who travel a lot. They say, how do you go to so much church? Come with me and I'll show you.
That's it.
It's I can't explain it to you. And that's the truth. You know why? Because Peter says like this, it's a joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Right.
You ever try to explain it but you just can't get it out? Hey, Peter had the same problem. It's a joy unspeakable. What is it? A joy.
Yeah.
Joy of the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
Over in 2 Corinthians 7, I wanted to get real deep into this, but I'm not. I just want to bring out a couple things in this. It says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. I'm going to stop right here. When it says for the ministration of death, it's talking about the law there. People died before the law. The ministration of death here is whenever the law came, they understood why they died. Because they understood they were transgressors, they understood that they could not fulfill the law, and they understood why they died. But people died before then. But the ministration of death is the law showing why people died. Same way when it talks about the ministration of righteousness. The gospel doesn't make you righteous, but it shows forth that you are righteous. That's why the church is so beautiful, because it's the place where the mourning sinner, born of God, is able to come and to find out he ain't got to mourn no more.
Amen.
He ain't got to... I love what Brother Luke Laird says about it. He says it's no marvel to me why people that see themselves as a sinner try to devise, and hadn't seen the truth, try to devise ways to get that sin off of them. He said, if I was plowing in a field and a 5,000-pound tractor fell on my chest, even though I can't get it off, I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to try. And whenever you see yourself as a sinner, whenever the Lord shows you how miserable and bankrupt you are, whenever the Lord shows you that you're a man of unclean lips that dwells among a people of unclean lips, you're going to do everything you can to make those lips clean. Amen. You're going to do everything you can to appear righteous in the sight of God. But at that time, you're ignorant of God's righteousness. You don't understand how holy He is that you can ever attain to that. But whenever you come into the church of God, and a man preaches to you and tells you if you feel to be a sinner, you're righteous.
Yeah.
If you feel like you should go to hell, you're going to heaven.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, that's the glory.
Yeah.
That's the joy. And I want you to understand what He's saying here. It says that which was in the Old Testament, that old covenant was glorious. It says much more rather the new.
Amen.
Much more rather that remaineth. What remains? The church of God. Brother Danny was the old covenant glory, so bet your bottom dollar was. Y'all remember over there, we talked about this a little last night at Brother David's. Y'all remember over there, there was a tabernacle. And at night, the fire of God would descend upon that tabernacle and it would lead them where to go. Wow. I mean, seriously. Do y'all believe this Bible's true?
Yes.
I do too. That's why I say wow. What if we'd have pulled up here last night and there would have been a fire of God sitting upon this building but not consuming it? And we knew that that fire of God meant that the Lord was there. You'd have had preachers fighting over who gets behind the pulpit. I mean, seriously, they'd have been like, the Lord's there, I want at it. Says, that's glorious. A fire not consuming that tabernacle. Instead, a cloud of God set upon that tabernacle, leading it where it should go. And they knew that that was God showing them the direction. That's glorious. Y'all remember over there whenever there came some old boys rising up against Moses and an earthquake happened and swallowed them up? Wow. That's glorious, okay? I mean, how about if Brother David's up here preaching and somebody comes with some heresy and the church house just opens right up and the heretics fall in the ground? Wow. That happened, brothers and sisters. Y'all remember over there, the Philistines captured the Ark of God. And they placed the Ark of God beside Dagon. And what happened? They came back the next day. Dagon fall down. Okay? They propped Dagon back up. Guess what happened the next day? Not only did Dagon fall back down, he had his hands and head cut off. Whoa! Are you serious? That's glorious. Man, what if we went to a Chinese restaurant? What if I said, my treat, we're going to China CN. And we get in there and I said, but want everybody to quote a Bible verse. So we bring our Bibles in there and we set it beside their little Buddha statue and Buddha fall down. I mean, see, that's just how I imagine things. These things really happen. I mean, I know it's kind of cute to think about, but that's how I get in your mind. You put it beside Buddha, Buddha fall down.
Amen. Yeah.
Little lady comes over there and asks if you want some sweet tea or not. She props the Buddha back up. She comes back. Guess what? Buddha ain't got a head.
Yeah.
Little fat fella cutting too.
Yeah.
What's she going to say? Man, them Primitive Baptists are crazy. That's glorious.
Amen.
But you know what the Bible says about what we have here this morning? It says it's much rather glorious. Brothers and sisters, the reason it's much rather glorious is because of what Peter says. He says, they that have preached these things to you, preached it with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. I want you to understand that whenever a man's blessed of God to preach the gospel and he has liberty, I'm not talking about just because he's standing and he's preaching. I'm talking about whenever you feel it. Whenever you feel it in your heart. Whenever it resonates within you. And you're made to, from glory to glory. And you're made to feel to be righteous by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you understand you had nothing to do with it. That's much more glorious than all the gold in Solomon's temple.
Amen.
That's much more glorious than the Red Sea being parted, because you have God with you. Thank you for your time. God bless you.
Amen.